Studio 360.
A lot of young men in the 1960s fantasized that they might become that swinging photographer of nude models from the movie Blow Up. Neil Selkirk was one of those guys. In 1966, the year Blow Up came out, he was a 19-year-old art student in England.
Photographers in London had convertible Bentleys and they had models and rolls of coloured seamless paper, and it was all terribly exciting and probably a way to meet girls.
And in fact, he was well on his way. At 20, he got hired as an assistant to Richard Avedon.
Avedon was doing advertising during the day, but in the evenings, we were doing editorial shoots. And one of them was to photograph John Huston's wife, daughter Angelica, and his son at their home. We set it up in this big living room, started looking around, and at one end of the room, there was a photograph. Three fat, naked people sitting on the grass with the back end of an old American car sticking into the side of the picture. A man in the center, heavy-set, middle-aged man with glasses on. And to the left of him is presumably his wife, a woman equally heavy-set, just sort of plopped like a dollop on the grass. And to the right, presumably their daughter. And they're just looking at the camera. I just thought it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I could not conceive as to why these people, who were physically quite profoundly unattractive, could be so completely comfortable with themselves in that condition. I was terrified. I was actually terrified. I actually thought about running out the door into the street and never coming back. It took me a long time to get a visa to come to the United States, but the studio got me a visa, and I started working there for Hiro, a Japanese photographer who shared the same space as Avedon. And I actually lived in Hiro's apartment in the Dakota, and propped against the wall by his library is the same photograph again. And I said, I saw that picture in London, in John Huston's house. And he said, it's by a photographer called Diane Arbus. You'll probably meet her. The first time she came into the studio, she was short. She was wearing jeans. And she just started to talk and ask questions. It was incredibly seductive. Here was somebody who was utterly fascinated by people. People gave themselves to Diane. And so very much what she tended to photograph was their comfort with the fact that she was photographing them. Nobody felt exploited. So then in the winter of 1970-71, I took her master class that she held at Westbeth in the West Village where she lived. And I realized that the photographer that I had been when I arrived in the United States no longer existed at all. I was completely incapable of embellishing anything. I was solely absorbed with the photograph essentially as a document of some kind. I left Heroes in the spring and went back to Europe. I was working for a New York photographer, a German called Chris von Wangenheim, and out of the blue, in the studio we were working in Paris, Avedon is suddenly there. And he says hello to me, and then he and Chris went into a huddle, and then Avedon leaves and Chris comes over to me and took me aside and told me that Diane had killed herself. And I sort of didn't know what to do with myself, but very shortly wrote to New York and said, look, I'm going to be back in November, and if there's going to be a show or there's going to be anything, I would very much like to be involved. By the following winter, I was completely immersed, researching her negatives. I had to look at every photograph she'd ever taken and try and find the negatives for each photograph. And then, for the rest of the year, I spent every day printing them, obsessively trying to duplicate her own prints, which is an extraordinary process because it means you're studying absolutely every inch of every photograph in every way. And there was never any intention that it was going to be a lifelong commitment, but it turned out that I was the only person who ever printed her stuff after that. It's completely bizarre and ironic that the one work of art which completely independently of anything that I knew affected me so strongly, that I wound up being so intimately involved with it. It's the only actual print she made that I own. And it insists that you dispassionately observe that that is enough. Things have moved on. These people may well be dead by now. And yet, the picture is still there, relentlessly reassuring me that I should never be sure about anything.
That's the photographer Neil Selkirk talking about a Deanne Arbus photo. It's a famous one called A Family One Evening in a Nudist Camp, Pennsylvania, 1965.